Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The Survivor Specialist, Will and Blake are
back.
No Phil here. He's at the Ron Clark event. He did predictions and power rankings with Ron Clark. This will be fun. I actually enjoyed this episode. I think it's our best kind of post-merge episode, even though it's our first real vote at the merge. I had a good time. Blake, what'd you think? How are we doing? Are we going to have more fun without Phil this week?
We're going to have a blast without Phil this week. We finally get to really share what we have in our minds without him just talking over us and bullying us, you know? It feels like when he's gone, we can actually play the game, which is what Chrissy kind of wanted to happen. And it's not going to work out for Chrissy, but maybe it'll work out for us. But I think one thing I want to say out loud very quickly is, like, why have some of our best players in Survivor history that have been super manipulative and so good at social game mostly been women in the new era? And it's like, these aren't muscles that, like, strong men usually have in their bodies. And so to watch these strong dudes who are hoorah and nailing challenges having to deal with the minutia of which one of our people are going to go first at 6, let's do it at 10 instead, and having that blow up in their face, welcome to a Survivor of, like, you need some help from other people, or maybe take a backseat, or say, as long as it's me, not me, I don't care. Why are you trying to push? No, I'm bringing Mary on this lifeboat of the 5 of us. Your lifeboat person, that's your 6th person that you haven't told us about, that doesn't work for me, and now you're screwed. I thought it was hilarious that, like, these are not problems we have on all female alliances or alliances that have more female influence. But this is what will be a storyline coming down the couple pipeline of episodes.
Yes, lots of infighting tonight with the strong 5, or now what we're calling, at least David's calling, the strong 6. Now that Mary has wiggled her way in here, which seemed kind of out of nowhere. But you just brought it up. I think let's start with this. We have our main alliance of strong people that's decided to stick together. We have some stragglers that have kind of been looped in. We know that Kyle and Camilla are very close. Camilla was also very close with not only Kyle, but Joe and Shaheen when they formed that, you know, that 4-person bond on the Swap Tribe. And then when did Mary exactly get involved? Was it just because David and Mary voted together once last week when we split the merged tribe up into 2 groups? Is that when now they're all buddy buddy, and now David's coming in here being like, you know, Mary and I got along, so now she's the 6th member? I mean, I don't, it was not very well established when she was brought into the fold, and maybe, hey, it's because they voted together once, and then Mary was eating, she got to enjoy the tacos too, so it's like,
truly,
her just being taco there buddies with David and Joe and Eva, that it was just like, okay, I guess Mary's just in on this now. But I will say, going through this rift between David and Kyle, David changes the plan. It was supposed to be Chrissy. It seems like everybody's on board for getting Chrissy out of here. And David's thought is, hey, we can do Chrissy at any point. Camilla is probably a little bit sneakier. I can feel
that
she's a more threatening player. I guess he felt threatened because it seems Shaheen and Camilla maybe had a secret alliance, which is, you know, all the more funny because we know that Kyle and Camilla actually do have a secret alliance. But he puts this out here, and if you listen to him, his points are pretty valid. I don't think David's idea here was necessarily wrong. I think his reaction to Kyle kind of pushing back was probably a little too strong. But, like, the idea that, okay, there's this player in Chrissy that seems to kind of be an easy vote. Why don't we get someone who's more threatening to us down the line? That seemed to have some, I don't know, there's some rationale there. Like, it's not completely out of nowhere. Do you agree with that? Do you think, or do you think this was completely off base? Like, she's one of your original SIVA Orange people. I guess Chrissy is at this point too. So like, I don't think this is like, David did have a rough episode tonight, especially at Tribal Council, but this intention here, I don't think was that bad.
I think there was a lot of moving parts on this of like, we are five. Why don't we do this as quickly as possible and go to and add a sixth person gets us guaranteed. And it is one of those, like, how did nobody think of this? Well, the thought process is everyone's thinking about this constantly, David. And I hate to bag on David so much, but like both David and Joe have a mindset where it's like, we're getting some real pushback from Kyle. What could Kyle have a pushback about a Camilla? He doesn't care about her at all. He's aligned with us. Why is he pushing back so hard? And it's like, you can tell David, go punch an oak tree and he'll have it done in 5 seconds. Joe, go save four burning families from a building. I got them all. And Eva, go score hockey goals.
Score goal. Yes.
But like, can any of them connect the dots of why is Kyle not all in on this slam dunk plan we built for him over tacos? He should be happy that we got this ready for him. And it's like, well, what's the next step, guys? Like, can you get there? And I don't know. Like, of course we get 4 hours of edited together from all this stuff of like, maybe they'll get it next episode. But it just blows my mind of like, Joe, who do you like better? Do you like David better or do you like Kyle better? Like, this is a, who have you spent more time with? And then I do think Mary got added to this. How did this happen? Let's trust our editors. They told us, wow, we hit the merge tribe running, me and Mary. And then I do think there's a group where it's, here's the five former SIVA players. Everybody but Charity is still involved in the game. We could all come together, but they all look at each other. Nobody's really serious about it. Nobody really cares. And so I think they're realizing, like, if people are going to think that maybe we're all together, we do need to get out an orange if I'm in charge so I don't have more heat on me. And that signpost is, if it's not me or Kyle, they didn't even mention Mitch's name the whole
not
episode.
At all.
Like,
no,
Mitch,
it just went
Mitch was
to
literally a, and I'm not, I don't want to say piece of furniture because that's such a negative term usually in reality TV, but it felt like Mitch was close to going home last week. And then there's no heat on him, there's no negativity on him. And it feels like truly Chrissy speaking up in front of Joe and Eva. And then it felt like, well, she's going to get saved because we want to do a blindside. And then Chrissy just knocks everyone out of the way and goes, actually vote me out. So like, I know that was like the most dramatized version of that recap, but like, how did Mary get in here? I think that is very specific of Mary is throwing the wrench in, and Mary has thrown a wrench in everyone's plans for literally 8 weeks in a row now of like, if you're against Mary or you're not with her, like, some kind of coconut will fall on your Rube Goldberg machine that knocks your buff up into the air, that'll land on your head sideways and knock you off the perch and challenge. And she'll grab the idol. Like, here's my shot in the dark. So I think all of that is setting up. I thought this was going to be the big fight, but it was like, okay, we do have a buffer vote of Chrissy. And now is next week going to be a big big fight, or is there a buffer vote of Mitch? And then after that, is there going to be a huge fight? Is there a buffer vote of Star? And it's like, when are we going to get this huge fight? And are we going to lose one of these big guys, or are they going to be the final five? That's what I would ask you as a brainchild of Survivor knowledge. Like, are we walking into the most boring season ever and trying to make it cooler, or are we about to have one of the coolest episodes in a while?
This is not going to be the final five. There's no way. But this is, I mean, we saw the cracks form tonight. And just because Chrissy did not, or just because Camilla did not go home, and that we had like a very easy Chrissy vote that like all of them ended up agreeing on, we could talk about exactly how that went down, like how that happened. But there are too many cracks here. And it's funny.
David looked like he wanted to just slam Chrissy's face like a watermelon right in front of her. I was like, it was like one of those crazy horror movies, like what is it, Exorcist 3, where someone shears the head off. And I was like, Chrissy, you're too close to David. He can demolish you in one blow. Well, shut up. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, no, I think David, again, like, I don't know if his, some of his gameplay I didn't like pre-Tribal Council. I think Tribal Council was where he kind of like really put his foot in his mouth and like should not have said some of the things he was saying. And his overall sentiment wasn't a good look, I don't think. But going back to before the vote, David is so upfront that Mary is now involved with this. And I don't think he asked anybody, but it's like he's being honest about it and just saying, look, like, Mary will vote for us and we have a sixth. This is great. And we don't know how much they talked about Mary joining. There might have been some discussion, you know, the day before or that morning before the challenge. So who really knows if she was ever folded in. But he calls out Kyle multiple times this episode and says, dude, you're freaking me out a little bit. Like, why is this Camilla vote? Like, why can't you just say yes? Why can't you just be on board with this plan? And to us as an audience, we're like, well, obviously he can't just hop on board because that's his number one ally. But Kyle doesn't really ever provide that compelling of an answer to David. If you're in David's shoes,
oh, it's bad play on both sides.
And you have this name and you said, okay, we talked to everybody. We want to pull a sneakier move than Chrissy. Chrissy, everyone knows that she's a target. Like, we can get her whenever. Camilla is being a little bit shady, maybe working with Cheyenne. I also think people gave me crap last week for giving Camilla the willy. I gave her the willy because I think her effort in going up to David last week and putting heat on Cheyenne by making up this idol story, or that like he might have an idol, like they didn't really go full enough with this lie to really actually convince David to turn on Cheyenne. And some of this sentiment that David's putting out there that Camilla worries him could be of the fact that Camilla went up and started talking about Cheyenne's idol. And like, he wasn't convinced by it. Or even if I do believe you, why are you coming up to me and saying this right now? We already have a locked in plan. And that might be Camilla playing a little bit, not too hard, but at least showing that she's thinking about the game strategically and that she's open to making her own moves or open to sharing information about another player's game. And that just might have rubbed David the wrong way. But Kyle here, going back to Kyle, he never gives a good answer about why he's not just like, sure, let's do it. Because is there one? Like, he can't say, oh, well, I was on, you know, Steva with Camilla since day one. Then we got swapped together. I played every single day of this game with Camilla. We're really close. We're actually number one allies and best friends. We're both Guyanese, and we have the super strong bond, and we have a final two together. Like, you can't say that to David right here. So I don't really know what Kyle's supposed to say. His answer when they do eventually have, like, the group meeting that Mary is a part of, and then strangely Cheyenne isn't a part of. I imagine Cheyenne was in an interview for that conversation. He says, look, Camilla will vote for us at some point, like, or vote with us. Like, we can loop her in and use her as a number at some point. And David's reaction, I mean, Mary kind of understands it, like, oh, she'll vote with us. Okay, interesting. Where Chrissy won't. Okay, I can maybe see that. But David's reaction was like, that's exactly why I want to get rid of her. Like, that, you're proving my point. Like, if she's willing to work with one of you and not me, then I don't want that. Like, we should be tight here. We should be the strong five. We should be the strong six. We don't need to bring anybody else into this. And I gotta say, I kind of agree with David there. Like, from David's position, you should be kind of worried that Kyle is this afraid of getting rid of Camilla. And you should be worried that he's saying, yeah, I think she would vote with us. I think she'll work with me. I think I have a good, like, you don't want to hear that from someone that's supposedly in your final five alliance. So, to me, I can't really say that Kyle played this that well because he didn't really give a good answer. But I don't know. Let's read the super chat.
This is a super chat we got. So Ryder says, I feel like unless Kyle and Camilla realize they need to work with Cheyenne instead of target him, I'm assuming that's what that means, I'm not sure how they win or beat Joe and Eva. Do you agree with that? I feel like we're on Kyle and Camilla are they're either going to beat this group of five or their story of losing is how that group of five makes it to the end. Thank you, Ryder, for the super chat.
Yes, thank you for the super chat. I think it's important now to discuss, clearly at some point, and I guess, I don't know, a flaw in this episode, Blake, and correct me if you felt differently, is that, were you ever worried that Camilla was going home? Like, I never felt that way at all. Like, it was Christy, when we were in tribal council, Chrissy the whole way.
Yeah, like, it was one of those things, like, once you've watched Survivor for 5 years, 10 years, 25 seasons, if you're binging them, it is kind of like, I haven't heard from Chrissy a lot. She's our last place person on confessionals currently out of all 10. And she starts the episode talking, and it's like, she's paired up with Kyle. The four went this way, four went that way. She's stuck in the middle with Kyle. Like, she doesn't have a group to talk to. I'm like, this is probably worst case scenario for Chrissy to work something out. This is probably worst case scenario for Chrissy to have some people go, you know what? I never thought of it that way. Like, she's not getting a lot of FaceTime with anybody. And the person that is with her has no loyalty to her over. It's like, Chrissy, I'd help you out over anybody else, but because it's you and Camilla, I'm going to go ahead and step on you again to get over you, not help you up out of this ditch. And that just, I think, crushed her hopes of trying to get through. But like that first thing that we saw, 10 people pairing up. Is that interesting to you after watching it 5 or 6 times over the new era? Or like, I thought that was a cool, interesting layer of it that Joe said of, I'm going to hold back, let people pick stuff. Obviously, we know he's going to pick Eva probably no matter what. But like, will my opponents show who some deeper alliances are if they pick somebody? Because I think what your point was, I'm saying a lot of stuff, but it's going to make sense in a second.
Yeah, when we are. I think we're jumping a little bit.
One final thing. So when you were like last week, Camilla sold the thing to David about Shaheen's idol. And then this week, Camilla and Shaheen are together. I think that double whammy is what got Camilla in deep water this time. So that in front of David and then picking partners in front of Joe, both of them were like, Camilla needs to go. And Kyle hiding his alliance with Camilla by not picking her as a partner basically was like, go ahead and get rid of her.
Yeah, I think you're kind of, I think we'll talk about that. I think you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're Kyle the Garrick. Because if you team up with Camilla, David's going to be like, well, what the hell? Like, why are you teaming up with somebody outside the strong five, even though he's teaming up with Mary, and he's probably cool with that because that's what he did. But if you try to keep this alliance completely hidden, then when you try to protect her, it's going to look shady. So, and that's where he kind of was in a pickle there tonight. I do want to just stick on this vote before we go to this pairing up. Think that's interesting. So on this vote, I mean, I think there was just zero chance that anyone other than Chrissy was going to go here, because we knew that Kyle and Joe really didn't want to do this. And then we see like Shaheen really wasn't that on board. And like, I was really expecting at some point a third name to come out. Like, is David trying to kind of bulldoze his way through this alliance, making all the decisions and like bringing in Mary without our consent and then saying a name on a reward and just telling us how we have to do it. And we're not making a group decision here. And David's now a threat to our game if he's going to play this stubbornly. I thought that was very much on the table. And because his name never came up, and because, should we switch the vote to Mitch? Or like, we never got another name. And it was like, if Camilla really was in danger here, I don't know. I think we would have had to have some information from Kyle, like, hey, maybe there's nothing I can do to save her. But there was just no world in which Kyle was ever going to vote out Camilla. I don't think he was this committed to this alliance at this point to be like, yeah, I'm going to throw out my number one ally so I can stay in this like strong five when we're still pretty early into the merge. But Blake, I'm curious, how do you think this ultimately got settled? Because we never saw, well, from what we saw is we had the group meeting. Shaheen was not there. It was three people very strongly in the camp of, we should definitely get Camilla out. That was Eva,
Mary, and David.
Mary and David. Those three very strong. And then Kyle was very strong. No, it should be Chrissy. Joe's like, it should be Chrissy. But Joe folds kind of. He says, well, if it's 3 against 2, you guys really want to do it? Sure. And then Kyle's like, now it's 4-1. Like, Kyle can't really put his neck out there. So he kind of folds too a little bit, and then has a, you know, a side conversation after with Joe. And I think then Shaheen at some point pops up. But like, what happened here? Did Shaheen get back? And then did Shaheen have a talk with David and say, this is what it has to be? Because they were trying to kind of keep Shaheen out of this because they paired up in the challenge. I know we're going to get there, but how do you think this landed on full Chrissy? I mean, Camilla got no votes tonight.
I think I'll walk right onto the trap set by the editors if it's not true. But like, I truly think, let's vote out Camilla, and that's what it's going to be. And like, too bad. And maybe the other people that weren't in this alliance were like, we're going to try and make it Chrissy. And then Chrissy had 2 hours at tribal council, and Chrissy was saying some not great stuff if she wants to stick around, because David was so angry and so like, this is not how Survivor is played on this season. You can go get a new season. And I think that was a crazy statement to say out loud. Like, I would say that in a confessional and go like, yes, queen, like that's going to be on the episode. That may be the title, but saying it at tribal in front of everyone that's on the jury, everyone that you're still playing against, like, I think this is the turning point of, if you thought David was a golden god that is going to make it all the way. We can do this in the challenge part, but like, it was like, I'm a strong guy and I'm not going to apologize for it. And it's like, okay, but when that happens, those people go home at 10th, 9th, 8th, and 7th, and you're tired of it. And this sucks. We're going to all align together. And it's like, okay, you can have all that logic. You can't be like posing at challenges and saying, you never had a shot, I was going to kick your ass, and then beating you so badly. And like, thank God you brought Mary and Eva to the Taco Tower challenge and not somebody that could win immunity and like use that immunity to leverage. Like, if Chrissy wins immunity somehow in that thing, then she would have more like, I'm going to use my safety to try and get at David right now. But like, I think when you're saying all that, that turned into, some of these people were originally voting for Chrissy. We would like Camilla to stay. We'll see what happens at tribal. We never got Shaheen's opinion. I hope Shaheen's, I mean, as soon as the next episode starts, they're going to be like, here's Eva waking up to go get her advantage. But I hope Shaheen's the second part of that episode where she goes, Camilla was never going. Like, she's my girl. It makes me think that, like, I don't know if she is his girl. Like, are they tight? Because I don't think we've had a link like that in at least 3 episodes now. So maybe he'll be like, I didn't care either. But Chrissy was saying some crazy stuff towards my guys, and I will stick with him no matter what.
Yeah. I mean,
what
I kind of
trying to say, I don't know, dude.
I love the sentiment though from Chrissy, because I get the sentiment from both, honestly. Like, I get what David was trying to say. Like, look, Chrissy is calling me out for being strong, and David's like, you know what, all of us are coming together and we actually want to get to the end and win. And like, all the strong people and athletic challenge beasts, they usually get voted out pretty early in the new era, and like, this season we're going to try to do it differently, and that's how we're going to play. And then Chrissy's like, well, yeah, sure, you can try that, but I'm also going to try to vote you out still. And like, I should be allowed to do that. And that's where I think David maybe got caught up a little bit. And like, no, we've had every season we haven't been able to do this. And like, we're changing it up. And like, when has a strong guy ever got to the end in the new era? Blah, blah, blah. And Chrissy's like, yeah, well, this is my season. This is the only season I'm on. So I'm
I would
going
be
to play.
So mad if somebody said it to me of like, yeah, we don't like people that joke on Survivor. I'd be like, I'm one of the 2 jokesters on this season. Can I tell some jokes or not?
No. And I think Mary said it really well. Like, both of you guys have every right to fight to stay in the game. Like, there's no, you don't get to decide what's okay and what's not okay. I mean, that's what makes Survivor great. You need the group of people to agree on who to vote out, and you need to rely on your alliances to get to the end. And you can't just say this is how it's going this season, you can't do anything about it. Like, that's not a really good look. Right. And David was giving some of that off. I saw some comments about a controversy.
Just where the idol or the advantage clue was placed at taco time. If it was directly in front of Eva in everyone's mind.
I mean, those rewards are usually family style. We're like, all right, pass me the chips. I'm going to take some, put on my plate. Pass me the guac. Pass me this dish. I'm going to make my own taco. And it's not like they're individualized portions.
What if you
at
said,
least
though,
that's how it goes. So I haven't been able to read the entire chat,
the
but maybe if
the
someone
winner of the challenge is what somebody's saying. I kind of remember that being said your prowess, but I didn't know if that meant all four of them or like you won, the chips are closest to your right hand. Good luck.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, individual
okay.
portions.
So we are saying we're getting individual chip
that.
Portions.
You should win immunity and not another advantage or idol. That's awful.
I do remember that note being a little bit worded. Like, why is it worded so weirdly in that congrats on winning the challenge when what challenge are we talking about? You just said it. Like, is it because we won the team portion and then you made it to the individual? Or are we congratulating the winner of the individual portion? It
and
does seem
like,
as though
I don't
if there
like
are individual
these blue corn chips, take these from me, and then it's like you give your idol away, and you're like, oh my god.
Well, that could happen. I mean, we've seen some funny moments with clues being hidden in food or reward. There was that one, I want to say Worlds Apart with Joe and the soda, or is that Malcolm in Philippines? Like where they're sipping a soda, and then he notices a clue, and he's like, hey, can I switch sodas with you? And then he gets the clue. But this does seem like it was intended for the winner of the challenge. So I don't think this is rigged and it was already printed out. So I don't think they're doing anything to rig it for Eva. It's like she won.
I don't like that somebody wins a challenge and then also gets an advantage on top. That is secretive. I don't like that because it truly felt today was like, oh, we're in Fiji because the rich were literally getting richer of here's more food because you won. Now you get an idol or advantage. Then whoever gets last place gets basically exiled. And now you guys are going to be more work against each other to make one of you guys mad at you and lose your vote. So it was like one side gets all positive, one side gets all negative. And then there's the people in the middle of like, I guess that's how Survivor's been a lot of times, but it is kind of like, Why can't the taco people pick somebody to lose their vote and the people that are in dead ass last place, one of them gets an advantage. And then it's like, oh, what can happen there?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could have offered something at the journey. Like maybe this journey could be. I think that every time we've seen, and maybe this is now a good point to kind of segue into the challenge and we can talk about picking the teams. And like we've seen this now in the new era a few times where it's you either pair up into teams of two or teams of three, and then the losers in some way are going to go earn their vote back. Or like I think last season we said you've all lost your vote, and then you'll be able to earn it back, and they go and play Jenga, and we know that only one out of the four of them is actually going to lose their vote, or only one out of the three. And this
new
is
era
the same
classic
thing.
James Barber, like
yeah.
this is what
we're doing now. And I do think thematically it is very new era and that like you must earn everything that you get and that the game will punish you for not being successful so that when you don't advance past the first leg of the challenge, you are going to have to go on the journey and you're going to have to earn your vote back in some way. If you do win, if you're going to get this reward, like usually in an individual part of the game, if I win a reward challenge, I get to bring a few people with me and I choose them. And sometimes it's reward and immunity where I get immunity. Then I get to choose three people to go with me. Instead, we don't have the winner choose. It's the other two teams that, you know, made it the furthest in the challenge. They earn that. So it's very new era. And I don't think this is going away anytime soon. Maybe it goes away for 50, but this is fully
it's in the hands of the fans. Well,
that's
you guys.
That's right. We have some new topics we need to break down, but let's return to this initial tree mail where it's pair up. And the group has to decide how to do it. I thought this is interesting. I like when you leave it up to the players to decide. And hey, if they want to decide to randomize themselves by drawing stones or picking straws in some way, like that's what everyone agrees to, then cool. But it's kind of cool to see them walk on eggshells and be like, who do I want to pair up with? Should I make it obvious? Do I want the strong person? Do I want my ally? So I do enjoy this, that it's like, hey, players, you figure it out.
I mean, I went ahead and just looked at what we're voting for to look at this, and it's, these are some barn burner questions today. I think, I don't even remember. Sorry, I screwed up. What did you just say?
You were the one who was so eager to talk about this topic.
Away for one
we were
second.
Like we were like 10 minutes into the podcast talking about this vote, and you're like, well, what do you think about the pairing up for the challenge? And I'm like, Blake, let's dive into this vote a little bit deeper. And now we're 30 minutes in. We've discussed the vote, we've discussed some of the moments of tribal council. Now I turn it back to you, Blake. What do you think about pairing up?
The one thing I like that they did is they did five girls pairing up with five guys. And I guess I didn't even realize we were at the same parity of gender. So I was like, okay, great. There won't be. I truly thought, hey, we're big, strong dudes and we're going to prove it to you. Joe and David are going to pair up. And who's going to beat us? And then, like, obviously they lose at the Taco Tower. But, like, if the four big dudes had did that. Is there four big dudes? I guess we're always considering Shaheen as the fourth big dude in this.
I'd say Shaheen, Joe, David, and Kyle is also in there as like pretty big, athletic, challenge savvy dudes. And then they have Eva in there as their challenge savvy woman.
So I did think it was pretty interesting that we did one man and one woman every time. Because I did think that was, wow, this is pretty like across the board. Like it seems like they're all... pretty even teams, because I don't even think Camilla has been bad in challenges. There just wasn't a puzzle element in this one, and that's usually where Camilla and Shaheen catch up in their past tribal stuff. So it was like, why was there no puzzle? Okay, this is a fully physical one, and maybe that's when that pair realizes like, oh crap, we're gonna fall behind. I do think people letting Eva and Joe pair up was very interesting to me of like, I'm kind of a stir where I think if I'm not Joe, I'd be like, Eva, I've been wanting to work with you in a challenge forever. We've been against each other this whole time. Let's try one, just me and you. And have Eva say, no, I was planning on partnering with Joe. And then that becomes, we made Eva and Joe have an awkward moment in front of all 10 of us. Like, I think that would be some, like, if you're Chrissy, I don't know if Chrissy was going to be, could Chrissy say, like, let's do Fire Captain Strong with the firefighters. Let's show America what firefighters can do. This seems like a perfect challenge for us. And then have Joe go, actually, no, not at all. Sorry. And then it's like, whoa. But like I think I liked the thought process that Joe had. It seemed like a very important confessional. It's not as important as maybe cues of the hide and seek from two seasons ago now, where it's like, here's how what everything's gonna happen. But it felt like, pay attention to what these competitors are doing right now. Who says their thing first? Who goes perfect? Who's a little bit annoyed about it? Didn't seem like anybody was too like angry, but it did feel like both Mitch and Star have nobody on their side, so they'll be together. And it felt like that wasn't a decision that was made. It was just their leftovers.
The last two left.
Like, that kind of feels where their game is at right now. And we even said, Mitch says out loud in the first like 5 minutes of the game, like, I've been playing scared. I don't really have any. So I thought this was going to be a huge Mitch episode, where he's like, oh, I got to get out of this. Like, I got to work together with this stuff. But any other time someone has said that stuff, all of their thought process has been, I got to talk to Joe. I got to talk to David. I got to talk to the strong people to break into that alliance. And like, that didn't work for Say. And then David voted out Cedric without like, oh, we could use Cedric and Mary as parts 6 and 7 of the alliance. Like, I think it's interesting that the goalposts seem like they're moving every day in Survivor, of something that made sense yesterday that got you through. Like, we're just making stuff up willy-nilly to knock you out, or filly-nilly or Blakey-nilly, not just yeah. Willy anywhere.
But. Right. No, I think, but that's the new era, and especially when we're merging, then splitting into two groups, then getting back together, it's like, and there's only, it's not like they've had nights off. Like it seems like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not tracking it. It feels like we're going to tribal like three nights in a row here. So there's not a lot of time to breathe and sit with like, okay, where's my game at? Who am I working with? It's kind of just go, go, go. I mean, Chayun was talking about, I wanted to paint the flag today. We really got to paint this flag. But instead it's like, all right, pair up with someone in front of your entire tribe. Going back to the Joe and Eva thing, it's like, I think everyone knows, you know, we saw that big moment in, what was that, episode 4 at the challenge with them. I think it's like, everyone's like, okay, they're gonna pair up, that's cool. Like, no one's going to question that and be like, Joe, you should, like, I want to be with you, or like, Eva, do you have to be with Joe every time? Do you have to be with him all the time? I think it's just understood, look, they're a pair, especially like Eva has some like extra needs that Joe takes care of for her and makes her comfortable out there, which in a really stressful environment like Survivor. And I think everyone's just like, cool. I mean, I know Chrissy did call them out as like a pair. Like, why are we not identifying them as a pair? But I don't know if anyone was going to like put up a fight with that. And then, like you said, Mitch and Star, I think, just ended up being the last two people there. Kyle jumped out and was like, Chrissy, once Camilla was gone, just like, Chrissy, let's go. Because Kyle's trying to keep his, you know, his allies under the radar, who he's actually working with. And he knows that Chrissy is, you know, likely going to go home. So, I'm a fan. I like this part of it. What do you think about the multi-stage challenge, where we go from, you know, we basically do three phases here, eliminating teams along the way?
I think, okay, this is some negativity. I know this is maybe surprising, but
negativity from the Survivor specialist? Get out of here.
At times where you need a challenge win to get through to the next thing, I could beat David at one of these six things. I'm not going to beat David in a collective group time of these six things. I could probably beat him in the ladder puzzle. So I'm hoping, if it's final 10, it's a ladder puzzle for all 10 of us. And I'll go large, small, medium, medium, large, run over, and like, run over.
David seemed over. Pretty good at the ladder puzzle. And it seemed like he was calling out.
I know ends. I could beat him. My spatial awareness is quicker. And but like, okay. I can't do the taco tower better than anyone. Like, I'm too fat. I would fall off. It's an iconic challenge called the taco tower that Parvati did first. And like, I think that's what sucks, is like, we have these iconic moments in Survivor history, which maybe some new fans don't care about. Is like, we're watching this season, not all old seasons, but like, when somebody wins immunity that's dead to rights and going home, that's not really possible in a multi-level. Did you pick the right partner? Did your partner not screw up three times? Did you not screw up three times? Did you get, like, I thought it was a crazy, like, Kyle and Chrissy are going sideways. We'd never seen that before. It was their only chance to catch up. And it's, I was like, this is working? Holy crap. And then they literally hit one of the hardest, like, falls off and slam into the net. I was like, oh my God. But like,
fall was great. That's a good fall.
If I need to win a challenge against one of these huge dudes, I need a simple, let's do it. Not, and then after you dig this up, do this. And that feels like it's another tribal challenge. Like, when we're in the individual portion of the game, start me off at Taco Tower, start me off at make the ladder up the thing. Because that's when I can go, I'm probably not going to win this one. I'll save a little bit. Not, I need to, and then you need to bust your ass no matter what, because you're going to lose your vote. And I think that's a thing that's got to be frustrating, of how many, if you look at the past seasons of Survivor, how many times were pivotal votes, if the dead ass last place of that person in the challenge, if somebody lost their vote because they're dead ass last place and her name was Ceree Fields, we would have rioted and stopped watching Survivor 5 seasons into Ceree's time, because she would never have a vote and never be able to run votes or whatever. So I think this was, I saw some negativity on Twitter of this multi-level challenge is a little frustrating in the individual portion. And I'm not looking forward. it's not an iconic moment to me. Oh, we're at Final 10. This is where they're going to pair up into five pairs, and it's going to show cracks. Like, I'm not looking forward that at Final 10 every year.
Yeah, I don't know if this is like an iconic phase of the new era where people are like, oh, it's this episode this week. You know, it's not like when the auction comes back, it's like all hands on deck. This is a Survivor Classic. Like, we want to see this every season. I don't have a problem with the phases that much. I think it's a little bit interesting. I know Phil hates lost votes. It seems like you're not as into lost votes. I don't always love lost votes, but if you're going to lose a vote, I do think that this might be one of the better ways the show has done it, especially on this season where we had journeys where people were forced to go on the journey. They were picked by another tribe, had no say on whether they would want to even embark on a journey. And then once they get there, they are forced to play a game and risk their vote. And then the game happens to be 100% luck, like rolling dice. Here, you are only going on this journey if you're one of the two teams that got last place. So if you did not perform well in the challenge, you didn't get out of leg one. And look, we have 10 people left. So 4 out of 10, if you're in the bottom 40%, then you're going on this journey. And that is by your own doing, by whether or your teammates doing, but you had a hand in selecting your teammate. So I'm not like, oh, these players got screwed, because it's on them to pick a good teammate. It's on them to perform well in the challenge. And then once we go out to the journey, like we saw last season, like I've been saying, like the phrasing of all four of you have lost your vote, now you can go earn it back. That's really not what's happening here. And I think they laid into it less tonight. It's four of you are going to go. One of you is going to lose your vote. So then even if you are in the bottom four, then we have a game where only now 1 out of 4 of you is going to end up losing your vote. So that's like not the most screwy thing. And the game, I do think this game that they played is interesting. Shout out to Mario Party 2. If anyone's a Mario, yeah. And I believe in some other iterations Mario of Party. Mario Party as well. This is Honeycomb Havoc, or at least a Honeycomb Havoc variant, where you usually in the real Honeycomb Havoc, you're playing and you're drawing one or two. And then once you get a red one, you're out. And this continues in a lineup until there's only one person left. I actually think that game works better than accumulating negative lives. I think it's more interesting because here it really was, okay, if we work together in our heads, we can pretty much gang up on whoever we want. Right. It's the first person to get the bad thing. You don't need to play for yourself to win and be the last person standing. Obviously, I know why they did that. They needed one person to lose their votes and not three people to lose their votes, because everyone would have hated that. So I'm not suggesting that's what they would have done, but I do think the game's more interesting from a find a sole winner instead of find a sole loser. But at least there is some thought to this game, and that it wasn't all luck, and that you could plan and strategize a little bit. So do I love it? No. Do I think this is like unfair, bad Survivor? I think it is what it is with the new era at this point. And sometimes the lost votes, they lead to really exciting tribal councils, as we saw earlier this season. And I don't always love the way that lost votes are distributed, right. But they can be good. Here, it wasn't good because Star's in the minority. And like Mitch was even saying, I'm in the minority. Like, I want to try to find a way, like find a crack. And like any vote lost from one of these players that's not in the main alliance, it kind of nips any possible plan right there. So that's kind of the issue with it. However, if you have someone in the power alliance, like if Shaheen loses his vote, then maybe that makes it more possible for the minority to flip the game. So like it goes both ways, and we can't just sit here and be results oriented and that, hey, someone in the minority alliance lost their vote.
And what we did here was Shaheen and Camilla are working together to make sure they both have their votes, which is crazy because the rest of Shaheen's audience or alliance is trying to get out Camilla when she's like guaranteeing Shaheen will have power. So I thought that was a cool, like not cool, cool, but like an interesting dynamic of you're trying to help the people that are trying to knock you out over here. And you just may not be aware of it, but yeah, Honeycomb Havoc. Did that help? I love that challenge.
Oh, I love Honeycomb Havoc. It's a great game. Did Camilla working so well with Shaheen in Honeycomb Havoc, did that make it easier on Shaheen to then, when he gets back and everyone's saying vote Camilla, vote Camilla, vote Camilla, that's what his alliance is telling him, and when Kyle probably says, hey, I'm not really down with this plan, they're force feeding this plan, I don't like it, does that give Shaheen some ammo, or does that help him realize, hey, maybe Camilla is someone that I want to keep around? We just communicated effectively, like by blinking and by like looking at each other, moving balls around in Honeycomb Havoc, and we worked well together, and we were able to prevent either one of us from losing a vote. Why do I want to vote that person out? So maybe this journey had more influence than we thought.
And I think,
or maybe I don't know.
Like, we're calling it Honeycomb Havoc. Let's just say the journey for all the people that are coming on a little bit later. Like, I think that is a very social game where you are making enemies and helping other people out very publicly. Of there's three balls before the red one. I could take two of them and give, because it was take one or two, right? Not three, because usually it's one, two, or three.
It's and one or two in Honeycomb Havoc.
Okay.
I've played versions where it's one, two, or three. One, two, or three and, is the game they played in Thailand with the flags.
Right. I was about to say, like, we watched that recently.
Similar to that.
Like, mm-hmm. So very publicly, if there's three balls left, you can, or not three. Three is where it's a little iffy. So if there's two balls left, the next person, you can say, I'll take two, you get the red one. Or you can go, I got your back, person right behind me. I'll take one, then you take one. But if we keep the same order every time, the only person you can have somebody's back on is the one who's taking their turn directly after you. And I think that was an interesting, like, if we're not eliminating people or mixing the order up every time there's a new red ball, like, the only people that you can kind of like, okay, you're behind me, I'm in front of you, I'm going to take enough where you have enough to set up star, is kind of the only way you can work together. But it was cool enough to get, like, just like you're saying, of if Camilla had been like, sorry, Shaheen, it's all up for everyone, I think Shaheen would have been like,
yeah,
it was crazy. Camilla, like, put my vote in jeopardy. Like, thank God it went to the almost overtime and Mitch or Star barely got one. But like, yeah, I'm down to vote Camilla. She just showed me something crazy at where I didn't expect her to. And then it was like, okay, just like you're saying, like, I think if Camilla had gone rogue, if she would have been gone right now. So it is nice that Honeycomb Havoc has a full, it was literally from commercial break to the next commercial break, it was only Honeycomb Havoc. So if you weren't watching the show, you came on late, turn on CBS, you're like, what is happening?
Yeah, what is this ball contraption? Why are there only three people? Is this an immunity challenge? Like, is this, it looks like a challenge, but where is everybody?
What is going on? And then it's like, the thing that blows my mind is every time there's a challenge, I'm expecting reward first. And then we're doing negative. And then after the next commercial break, it's like, oh my God, tacos. I'm like, I haven't even thought about tacos in like 10 minutes now. Like, yeah, how are we? Like,
here we go. We have Captain Obvious. Can we please have a 10-minute discourse on how to play Honeycomb Havoc? I mean, this isn't the true game. It's a little bit different, like we talked about. But I don't know. I feel like we've covered, and that's probably sarcasm coming from Captain Obvious, as he does. Maybe we've talked a little bit too much about Honeycomb Havoc.
Another one from
James Garber here.
Okay.
Honeycomb Havoc is pretty sleepy, not going to lie.
We're both amateur board game designers, you guys. So come on. All right. Let us board game a little bit.
I don't know if it played out that excitingly on the show. I think it conveyed what it needed to do, though, and that they were, you know, that certain people were working together behind the scenes in order to put the lost vote on the star. And that's the story of the game. And at least the game tells a story. And I like it better than rolling dice or some of the other ones, or even the Jenga one we saw last. Like, this was at least in somewhat, you know, somewhat social in its construction. So
Mario Party has stars too. So star to me in Survivor and star to get in Mario Party.
Yeah. Do you play with bonus stars?
Have to.
Yeah, I think so too.
Every time.
Yeah. I like
Or it's just strong big men. That, look at this analogy that we're doing. If you don't play Survivor with bonus stars, idols,
you mean Mario Party.
Other thing.
Oh, yeah. Now we're going fully into this analogy. Okay,
if
let's
you don't
go.
Don't play Survivor with bonus stars. The big strong men will win every single time, and that's why you have, I'm going to pick people to go on a reward with me or not. There's idols, there's, oh, you won the letter from home and didn't share with me, you're toast. That's all those intangibles that you'll never know unless you step on the island.
Yeah, I'm good with bonus stars. I wish we knew, at least for the Mario Party way, it's like, I wish we knew which ones would be in the games. Then you could like know which bonuses to go for. So like, is there going to be a coin star? Is there going to be a shopping star? Is there going to be a mini game star? All that.
You should just always play four all stars and then you'll get bonus stars along the way.
It's
and
tough. There's a lot. They added a lot of bonus stars. Yeah, it's too tricky sometimes. Let's bring this back to Survivor. Anything? I know we've now talked about the challenge. We've talked about the journey. We talked about the advantage that we saw at the Taco Reward. We talked tribal. We talked about the vote.
There wasn't even a character moment on this episode, right? Where it was like I think we opened random characters talking about something.
We were talking about, and actually this was a question asked to Phil and me on our Patreon Q&A. What is the biggest animal you could, was it kill or win in a fight against? I don't know. If
we Joe was like, I could take animals. An old gorilla.
I mean, that's not a bad answer. Also, is it just your bare hands or like, are we using our human technology?
You get a fire hose.
Just a fire hose. That reminds me of Planet of the Apes, and Rise of the Planet of the Apes with Malfoy, with the fire hose spraying.
They're making those every 4 years till we die. I feel like they're just keep coming out. Did you watch? I mean,
it's a phenomenal franchise. That those first three are almost perfect in my mind.
A hyena would screw your shit.
A hyena was a crazy answer. It just depends. Like, am I armed with the knife, or if I'm just using my bare hands? And then we had an interesting conversation about a boar versus a pig, and it's like, well, can you pick a domesticated version of one that's like not gonna attack you? Then yeah, maybe I could sneak up on a lion if it's like one of those Tiger King lions that's been domesticated and friendly towards humans. So I don't want to kill a big animal, you know? I don't want to do
this
that.
This is the thought process about like respect human nature. Like, these animals are way stronger than you think. This is why we go to the zoo. This is why we have a tiger have like a rope next to it. So you can be like, I could take on a tiger. I work out 5 days a week. And then the tiger like lazily plays with you on your, you do this like that. That's what wild animals are. That's why you live in suburbs and there's not wild animals, because you would die. And like, when people get killed hunting boars, like the guy from Game of Thrones, like that's what would happen to you if you're not prepared and don't have full. Luck. Yeah. Like if you don't have full prep and guns, you're going to go down if you mess with Mother Nature. Like I, that's one thing that they haven't had on Survivor in a long time, of like animal versus boar or animal or us versus fish. Like nobody's gotten bit by a fish.
We haven't killed a boar in some time. No. On Survivor.
Man versus tacos, though, we take them down easy.
Yeah, we'll take down some tacos, take down some
I guess
some
character pastries, moment for Eva too pizza. Of like, she will eat too much food and not have self-control, just like the self-control she won't have that'll get her knocked out of the game at final five. Like, does that go through your head of like, why are the editors showing us this? Or are you like, oh, she just ate too much?
I don't know. I feel like it was her. I do think she probably felt a little bit sick, but also it was them showing like, look how sly she is, because she said she needed to step away because she ate so much, but she's really stepping away to open up her clue. So it's just like a little clever gamesmanship there. Let's move over to our new 50 topics. We got three new topics. Pretty meager.
I have it pulled up. If you want me to just read what it says, because we got an individual necklace. Time for another design element.
Yeah, who cares about the necklace? And it's like, one is so much obviously cooler than the other. I mean, it's like,
would you rather have a phoenix be the whole necklace or a phoenix just be the medallion?
An icon? Yeah. Like, okay. So I'm gonna vote right now.
Okay. Yeah. Vote.
So I'm voting for necklace B. Okay.
Tribe supplies. Another decision regarding camp life. Tribe supplies. Give them their supplies or make them earn them. I want to give the tribes their camp supplies at the beginning of the game. Survivor is hard enough. At least let them start on equal footing so they can start building shelter to protect themselves from the elements. Or I want the tribes to earn their camp supplies. It creates an instant disparity between the tribes, giving one an early advantage while testing the other's resilience, morale, and ability to adapt. This is the set sweat versus savvy, right? Get sweat versus savvy out of here. Bye.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anyone's a sweat versus savvy fan. It seems like the show's not even a sweat versus savvy fan anymore, because for 47 and 48, they've just kind of done something different. They've done these head-to-head journeys for tribe supplies.
And none just of those people have supplies. Really panned out, right? Who, most of those people cares? Have gone home early.
Yeah. And I saw a comment. I don't know who said it, and I regret that I don't remember, but the chat flies by, and again, I'm sorry. But someone said, it's crazy that this is a vote selection, because when's the last time they've even shown the tribes using their supplies or even had a scene about the supplies? So, like, this has basically no influence on what we're actually going to see episodically on season 50. Like, it's just not going to matter. So yeah. Give them their, I'd rather have the players be out there and play the game hard and maybe like have them a little bit sounder of a mind if they're able to boil water and cook rice and they have a pot, they have a machete, they can chop open coconuts. Like, make that easier so that they can think about the game strategically and play it hard and play it well and hopefully play it without so many darn twists. So bring us to our, take us home here.
I think to one layer of what you're saying, like, imagine you see your favorite person for the first time in 20 years on Survivor, and their whole storyline is, we didn't have our camp supplies on day one, and we never got our ball rolling, and I went home on day five. Like, that's Sean Rector's story when the first time he comes back to Survivor in 25 years. I would be like,
yeah, we lost sweat versus savvy, and so we never got our supplies. Yeah. We never got Flint. We weren't able to boil water. Our tribe got dehydrated, so we couldn't perform in challenges, and then I got voted off.
Okay, here's the big one for 50 vote. Twist. Another decision surrounding gameplay. The right twist at the right moment can change the game for players in exciting ways. But some fans prefer a more straightforward game, where strategic alliances are all that matter. Which are you? Keep the game straightforward? I don't like twists. They get in the way of a clean game. I want a season where players can lean on strategy and social skills, not sudden surprises that blow up their plans. So let's go old school. Twists should be very rare. Or keep the game shifting. I love twists. They add excitement and uncertainty, keeping the players on their toes and forcing them to adapt and rethink their strategy. Bring on the twists!
Yeah. Interesting wording here. It's pretty clear which one they want you to go for. To me, it's like really, and this, I find this interesting because we've already had the same thing with advantages, and advantages, they gave us a spectrum. They gave us three answers. So you could do like the lower end, the middle, or the high end. Here, it's just lower, high end. You can't even just go neutral down the middle. And I also think we're not deciding what the twists are. So if it's like, I don't like twists, keep them rare. That's option A. That's what I'm going to vote for. But if you have very few twists, let's say you have one or two twists the entire season, and one of the twists is the hourglass, like, I'm going to hate it. So, like, it's almost about the quality of each specific twist rather than how many there are. It's quality over quantity here. So, you know, taking the other side of that, if there's on 50, like a bunch of twists, but all the twists are really good and clever and aren't just random and lucky and don't like upend events that have already happened and don't feel unfair. Like, if we get a tribe swap and it's like the one they did in Gabon with the rankings, I would love that. And then we do the auction style thing from Guatemala. I would love that. And then maybe we sprinkle in a new advantage here in the post-merge. Yeah, that might be a lot of twists, but if none of them individually are that bad, then I'm not going to have a problem with it. I'm still voting A, but I'm just warning everyone, just because you vote A doesn't mean there couldn't be some game breaking. Okay, we're going to do one twist and it's Redemption Island or it's the Outcast are back. So I don't know.
Oh my God.
I imagine everyone on this podcast, everyone listening here is going to vote option A, as we all should.
I think one thing that blows my mind about what we're doing of voting for this in the hands of the fans, maybe, okay, I don't know if I should disclaimer every time, but it truly feels like, do you feel like you have the power as fans? Did you feel like the two medallions to put around your neck There's clearly a right option. Did you feel like
if I don't get that option B necklace, I'm going to be livid, Blake.
Did you feel like the twists are, no matter what Jeff and crew wants to do, they're going to fit it into what the fans voted for? And maybe that's a little bit too insider baseball, but like, and for 50, back in season 20, they were doing some stuff like, here's a challenge that we did, Ghost Island. Here's something that is haunting you from the past seasons. 50 could have been, you've seen these twists before, like you just mentioned, of like, when we do have a food thing, we're going to make one person do the same thing that Jamie had to do in Guatemala. Most people would be like, who's Guatemala and what's Jamie? And it's like, no, Guatemala's the place, Jamie's the person. But like, it could, the 50 food thing is
we rank, yeah, we have the rewards.
We're gonna rank food
challenge, which is really,
and this
fun.
Was popular 15 years ago on Survivor. Or but like on 50, I kind of don't want, it's not that I don't want the fans to decide, I want someone to be the director of this and have a magnum opus of like, this is going to be the coolest season ever. We're going to equal parts show homage to old seasons. We're going to equal parts push gameplay into the new era and not make it a big joke about it and be like, we're going to meld these players from different eras. We're going to show you, wow, 15 years ago we were doing this. Look where we are now. Today was rough because they said, this is a new era staple, and showed the taco tower thing. And you're like, bro, that's Parvati's challenge. Parvati is not in the new era. That was back in Cook Islands, back in Micronesia. I think it's Micronesia that she won.
Aussie.
Because it's a different one. Yep. It's a different one in Cook Islands. So she crushed it and looks super hot in Micronesia. That's her whole, like, that's her most iconic photo she will ever have. It's not an iconic new era challenge. That, and like, I there was one tweet where it was like the iconic new era challenge where you only have 4 of 10 people play and you don't have footholds, so it can't go longer than 10 minutes. And it's like, you lost everything that made it iconic.
Yeah, I don't like that they make it harder each time.
I don't know how to make a season of Survivor, so stop complaining. I've been working in reality TV for 13 years, bro.
Yeah.
So as well.
Not that long, but it's been quite a while now.
Yeah.
That's the insider
baseball part. Like, we kind of know what we're talking about. I'm hoping it's good, but we'll see what 50 does.
Yeah. That's the 50 votes. We got some business to take care of. We got,
who's your willers?
The Blakey in the Willy. It's usually the Philly and the Willy, but Phil's not here, so we're gonna go with the Blakey. Who is the, you know, standout best player MVP of the episode, however you want to phrase it.
I think that's an interesting one. It felt like a lot of people were stumbling because I don't want to give it to Kyle. He didn't really save his ally because it was kind of like defaulted to.
He kind of got caught himself. Like, David cracked this wide open. Like, oh, I think Kyle and Camilla got something secret going on. Like, that's kind of exposed now.
I think the person who came off in all of this still in power with no eyes on him and no negativity is Joe. And unfortunately, I think it's pretty obvious for everyone to kind of see, like, if you really want to upturn the apple cart on all of this, who's in charge, stab Joe in the back right now. But David's the one with heat on him. Kyle's the one who looked weird and shaky in front of other people in his alliance. Nobody said Joe's name of like, let's get him out of here. Chrissy, who did mention, actually, I just lied. Chrissy, who did say, let's get Joe out, was unanimously voted out 8-1. There was no thoughts of let's give Chrissy a vote to let her know. And whenever Chrissy said out loud, or Camilla said out loud, and Chrissy was like, you're right, somebody just got cost $1 million and somebody's playing very bad for the jury right now. You are losing jury votes one by one. They're not talking about Joe. So I think Joe probably had Eva also won immunity and is about to get an advantage. So like, why am I not giving it to Eva? Like, but it doesn't feel like she's
up
that
there, yeah,
in charge. So I'm going to go Joe.
Yeah. I think Joe's a good pick. I think the only knock on Joe is that, you know, this relationship with Eva now is becoming like a thing. Like, not only did Chrissy call it out, but it was like, you know, obviously they paired up for the challenge. It's going to come to a head at some point where like that pair is going to need to be split up. I don't know what, it's not like he did anything wrong about it tonight, but that was probably the only kind of drawback of what we saw from Joe's game in tonight's episode. You could argue Shaheen here, maybe. I know he didn't do well at the challenge, but he survived the journey without losing a vote. Him and Joe seem to be in like kind of interchangeable positions, although Shaheen doesn't have Eva, which I think is actually like a good thing, because I think that's painting a target on Joe's back, and Shaheen's more of like a individual within this alliance, which maybe reduces his threat level. But you're going with Joe. I think that's a fine answer for the Blakey. The first Who's ever the Blakey. The Willie, I'm struggling with. Partially because like I do think it's David, and I do think it's like, I think it's David or Kyle for me. But like it's weird because, again, I think David had the right read here. David correctly read that something's going on with Kyle and Camilla. He shouldn't be this bothered by it. And then Kyle, on the other hand, he did a really poor job at explaining why this vote was giving him such a hard time. But at the same time, Kyle did a very good job at making sure Camilla wasn't the one who got like who went home. That was important. That's important for Kyle's game. He's going to have to reckon with this at some point, but he got an extra vote. He survived a tribal council without having to turn on his alliance and was able to keep Camilla in the game. So I don't think I can give it to Kyle. So I am going to give it to David, because I think he came out Kyle too hard. I think he was too pushy with telling everyone to vote for Camilla. No one likes that as an alliance member, to be told this is how you're going to vote. You can't question it. And if you question it, I'm going to get angry at you and accuse you of things. We saw him pull in Mary and act as if like that was okay. Again, I'm sure there was discussion about this. I'm sure there was a conversation or many conversations that we missed, but I still don't like the look that, hey, we had this five. I get along really great with so-and-so. I get along great with Mary. So I'm going to bring her in, and now she's my extra person. I don't think you want an extra person. And Blake, I just mentioned to you why I maybe think Shaheen is in a better position than Joe, because Joe has an extra person. He has someone you can look at them and say they are a pair. If that happens with David and Mary, that's not good for David's game. So I don't like, good that you have a relationship with somebody, good that you, you know, cross tribal lines and you're like the only, you're the ally to the only green person left on this season. You picked her up. She was a free agent. Good for you. But the fact that it's so public, not a good look. And then your look at tribal council tonight, I really don't think was good. Maybe not in a game sense, but like edit wise, it doesn't feel, I know we've Phil and I joke that like David's had such a clean edit. How and that like David, we know a lot about him personally. Like, this was a knock, edgic wise, and like to him being a fan favorite or someone that everyone's rooting for, I think he got like, there's a good pinch, healthy pinch of negativity at tribal council. So I'm going to go David as the Willie. I hate to do it because I've been team milk. I've been rocking with David all season, but this was not his best episode.
I've been team milk for 30 years. Okay. So Blakey goes to Joe. Willie goes to David. Is there any prop bet stuff you need to do? Because I have everything we need to plug for the next 2 days that Phil gave us.
Yes, I was just looking what Phil told us to plug. I don't. Phil usually does the prop bet stuff. And the whose fantasy team was Chrissy on?
I think that was me. I lost another one, but so, she's been kind of not a high performer for a while. So I was like, I didn't think she was going to take us to the promised land. Digging deeper, if you think it's happening tomorrow, where you can get more Phil, your Phil of Phil. Phil wasn't there tonight. What does he actually think? That actually happens Friday at 1 o'clock. Because he is going to be hung over from Ron Clark, maybe. I don't know if he even drinks anymore.
No, I think he's traveling.
Todd is the guest on Saturday at 5 for the Power Rankings. So Todd Herzog back in the building. He must love Phil. And then Phil's after show will be Friday instead of Thursday this week. And then if you're trying to watch Amazing Race, I know they're doing another recap of that tomorrow morning with McKenna. And I can't remember whose McKenna co-host is, but I should probably watch it.
There you go. As always, check us out on patreon.com/thespecialist, where we're into Gabon. We've been doing Q&As, rock draws, answering all your your juicy survivor questions and just questions about the real world. Like, do you drink milk? What kind of animals would you kill, or how big of an animal can you kill? So join us there. We have a lot of fun. We have one more thing.
One final question for you, Will. And I want a full thought process from chat. This isn't for digging deeper. This is right now. Did you or the show miss say as bad as you think she did or think you would for like dynamic stuff or like storylines on this season? Is it a huge loss?
I don't know if it was a huge loss. I think a character like Say is good to have early on in the game, where so many of these tribes are kumbaya and you're like, I can't believe we have to vote somebody out. I guess we have to do it. And you maybe lose some of the confrontation and excitement. But like, once we get to the individual portion, I think, you know, people can start smelling that $1 million. People are playing hard. They know they have to make moves. I mean, we saw it tonight. I mean, this was a big confrontation between David and Kyle, and they are in the same alliance. So I think it's like that kind of energy does a good job kind of livening up what could be kind of a sleepy pre-merge. But by the time you get to the individual portion, it's not needed. So I don't want to say I like, you know, totally didn't miss it at all, but like, if you're gonna lose Say and lose that energy, I think this is like a very apt time for that.
Yeah, I think her story was over, and I do think if she was in the game, they probably just would have force boot her and not had these discussions and shifts and tectonic plating movings. Yes, tectonic plating, it doesn't look like anything's moving, but that's seismic shifts. So that's not even a cool way to end this, but yeah, I was wondering if I was going to miss Say completely, but it did feel like there's enough juice in the, this anger is going to show up for these dominant men.
Yeah, no, this, I think this is like the beginning of the end for the strong person alliance. I don't honestly don't see a world in which they're surviving unscathed next week. Like, I would be pretty surprised if it was like Star or Mitch just like going home, and we keep Mary, we keep Camilla, we keep the other five. Like, I just would be so surprised by that.
One of those people has like a Romeo final three coming, where it's like Romeo was never in charge of anything and is like wins the final four immunity and is like talking at final, and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Romeo. Like, I don't know if it's Star or Mitch, but one of those people is going to make it to final three. All right.
We'll find out. We'll see. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Phil will be back on Friday with his after show and with Digging Deeper. Leave some comments, like the video, subscribe, all that. And we will see you next time. And then I have to say, see ya.
Hasta luego.
There it is.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.